Right, okay, we're now reconvening, and item five, turning to the second application, 19-0095-FUL, land at Northumberland Close, Stanwell. This application seeks the erection of a building comprising 8,241 square metres to provide warehousing and distribution and logistics, Class B8, and associated offices, together with associated access, loading and uploading, and car parking, servicing, and landscaping. Paul Thompson, can you run through the plans for us, please?
This planning application relates to the existing open piece of land to the west of Northumberland Close in Stanwell. The site is located within the Green Belt. The proposal involves the erection of a new warehousing and distribution stroke logistics development with associated offices, access, loading, unloading area, car parking, and other associated facilities.
Actually, apologies, Paul. Can I just one thing? Councillor Barnard has now joined us. Councillor Barnard, can you introduce yourself, giving your name and ward, and then following that, any declarations you have to make on these items that are coming?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Colin Barnard, and I'm a ward councillor for Shepherdson Town, and I have, on the upcoming items, I've had no correspondence. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. So,
thank you. It is relevant to note that a planning application for a similar scheme was refused in 2015 for a number of reasons. One of the reasons was because the development was unacceptable on green belt grounds. Another reason for refusal was because the building was considered to have an unacceptable overbearing impact on neighbouring properties. The current proposal is also considered unacceptable on green belt grounds and overbearing impact reasons. Furthermore, it is considered to have an unacceptable harmful noise impact on existing residential properties. Moreover, the development is considered unacceptable on highway safety and parking grounds. Accordingly, the application is recommended for refusal. So just to get our bearings.
Well, it's getting a bit hot in here, ladies and gentlemen, so if you want to remove your coats, etc., then that's acceptable.
Yeah, just to get our bearings, the application site is outlined in red. To the west of the application site is Northumberland Close, running in a north to south direction. To the north is Bedfont Road. Further to the north is the Southern Perimeter Road of Heathrow Airport. To the west are the residential properties in Clare Road. And to the northeast of the site is the residential development of Cleveland Park. Further to the east, on the other side of Northumberland Close, of existing industrial buildings. With regard to the application site, this does have an existing access onto Northumberland Close at the southern end of the site. Apart from that access, the site is free of development. This photograph is taken from Northumberland Close, looking north. The application site is on the left-hand side and one of the industrial buildings is on the right. This photograph is taken again from Northumberland Close, but looking south. The application site this time is on the right-hand side with the commercial buildings on the left and at the end of the road. I refer to Cleveland Park. This is Cleveland Park. The development is accessed from Northumberland Close. The properties face onto a communal garden and parking area, and they also face towards the open space associated with the application site. This view is also from Cleveland Park, looking northwest towards the application site. Number 27 and 28 Cleveland Park are on the right hand side. And you can see the application site beyond the parking area, and it's full of vegetation. This is one of the existing commercial buildings located to the east of the application site. And I'm showing this to illustrate that this building is similar in design and scale to the proposed building. This photograph is taken from one of the rear gardens in Clare Road, looking east towards the application site. Currently, there is a belt of trees along the boundary. With regard to the application, all except one tree on the application site will be removed. And this view will be replaced with the 14 metre high rear elevation of the new building. This photograph is again of Northumberland Close. I'm just showing this to illustrate that there is already an existing problem with vehicles parking on double yellow lines on the road. I mentioned earlier the refuse scheme from 2015. This is the layout associated with that development. The footprint of that building and the height compared to the current proposal was less. And these are the elevations of the 2015 refuse scheme. The height of the building was significantly smaller compared to the current proposal. For example, the front elevation, that was the elevation facing east towards Northumberland Close, that was 10.4 metres, whilst the same elevation for the current proposal varies between 8 and 14 metres. Whilst the rear elevation with the refuse scheme was 8 metres high, the current proposal is 14 metres high. This is the proposed site layout. The site is dominated by the main warehouse building. To the right of that, we refer to associated offices. There's an office element located to the right of the warehouse building, fronting onto Bedfont Road. And then to the east towards Northumberland Close is the main loading and unloading area. The car parking spaces associated with this development are sited to the rear of the building, adjacent to the boundary with the properties in Clare Road. The proposal includes the installation of a green wall to help screen part of the building, and this green wall is situated adjacent to that part of Cleveland Park. There is some new tree planting proposed along the boundaries with Cleveland Park and adjacent to the boundaries with the properties in Clare Road. These are the proposed elevations. The top drawing is the rear elevation, so that's the rear elevation as seen from the properties in Clare Road. The middle elevation is the eastern elevation. This is the view from Cleveland Park. This particular part of the building will step up firstly with a height of 8 metres, then stepping up further to 14 metres to the eaves. This middle elevation also shows the location of the green wall. The left-hand bottom elevation shows the frontage onto Bedfont Road, with the particularly showing the office block. These proposed section drawings are useful in showing the scale of the warehouse building and office block compared to the neighbouring houses. So if we look at the top elevation, you can see the stepping down towards the properties in Cleveland Park, but you can still also see that in comparison with, that's still a similar height to the top of those houses. And on the rear elevation, you can see the height of that rear elevation in comparison to the two-storey properties in Clare Road. And then likewise, going down to the bottom elevation, you can see the scale of the office block in relation to the houses. The office element is laid out on three floors with a plant enclosure on the flat roof. And then just to finish, these are three-dimensional drawings of the proposed development, viewed from various angles. The top left-hand drawing shows the building in context with the houses in Cleveland Park in front and the houses behind in Clare Road. And then just moving to the right of that, you can see the rear elevation of the building in context with the houses in Clare Road. And then from different angles, again, that's the bottom left elevation, again, is showing a different angle in relation to the properties in Clare Road. And the right-hand drawing is showing it in from Northumberland Close, with Cleveland Park on the right-hand side. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Paul. We have public speakers on this, so please could Gemma Brown come forward to speak against the application. And you're reminded that you have to speak for 3 minutes, and I'll prompt you when there's 30 seconds left. Start at your own time.
Good evening. I would like to respond to the document entitled The Agent's Response to Objections, which was uploaded to the planning application just yesterday, and comment as a resident. With regard to the building itself, the response states that the building has been articulated to minimise on loss of privacy to residents. However, a three-storey glazed office building overlooking the back gardens of Clare Road and the front gardens of Cleveland Park, where the children of Cleveland Park play, does constitute loss of privacy, regardless of the building's articulated angle. The response document highlights that the design now has a dropped roofline and so is not overbearing, but the height at its apex is still 16.19 metres, 14 metres to the eaves. A building of this height, regardless of the roof design, is overbearing when adjacent to a residential property. Pertaining to the building's operation, the response document states that although unlikely to be 24 hours, the make and break operations and deliveries are likely to be from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. So actually, the building, warehouse and loading bays are likely to be active for approximately 19 to 20 hours per day, with deliveries and staff potentially commuting along the access roads between 4 a.m. and midnight. And these access roads do not operate with ease. The roads are in fact highly unsafe with junction bottlenecks, and the drivers of the HGVs often show offensive driving in order to escape the junctions quickly. Now, understandably, when producing their planning proposals, Spelform planning agents have to rely on reports and data supplied by third parties. But who verifies that data, and who translates it into a real human perspective? Restricted sleep caused by noise, synthetic light and vibrations, increased diesel fumes and dirt, the claustrophobic feeling of being watched or enclosed by very tall and bulky buildings all add up to a detrimental change to a person's quality of life. And the result of this, mental health declines, increased anxiety and depression, lack of work productivity, and susceptibility to illness and infection. As residents, we understand Spelform Council has to devise ways of making money to put back into the borough, but do we, the residents of the borough, really have to sacrifice our health and the health of our children to this cause? As residents of Cleveland Park and Clare Road, we must ask that this proposal be refused as the only sensible option. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Mr. Thompson, are there any points you want to clarify as a result of the comments made?
I just wanted to go back to the issues of the hours of operation. The applicant hasn't provided details in the application form of the hours of operation, but this type of development is effectively a 24-hour operation.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. And now please could Ian Anderson come forward to speak for the application. And you're reminded that you're only able to speak for 3 minutes, and I'll prompt you when there's 30 seconds left.
Chair, members of the Planning Committee. Heathrow is the only airport in the UK that fulfills a hub role for warehousing and logistics. The primacy of additional space at Heathrow is critical to the make and break type operations proposed in this application, which involve taking cargo from a plane, breaking into smaller consignments, and then distributing or returning to an aircraft for onward passage. This requires a 2 to 3 hour turnaround and needs close proximity to the cargo village, swift expedited customs clearance, and the shortest route possible to and from the aircraft. This is why there is a concentration of these uses along Bedfont Road. Placing such operations further afield is unrealistic, unsustainable, and will create just additional congestion. The application is materially different from the B1 office proposals in 2015, given the essential role this development will fulfil for Heathrow. The land is designated Greenbelt, but is acknowledged as weakly performing by the council's own consultants. We consider there are compelling, very special circumstances for the development of this site. Under the third runway scenario, analysis gives an estimated land requirement of a massive 89.2 hectares to 117.9 hectares for off-site cargo handling facilities. There is a further 18.8 hectares to 28.2 hectares for freight forwarding space required. An additional land may also be required to facilitate relocations. But even if the third runway does not progress, the report forecasts under the constrained two-runway scenario with no replacement of existing facilities off airport space predicted at 22.4 hectares and freight forwarding at between 12.9 to 19.4 hectares. Therefore, even without runway 3, there is a clear need for significant additional space. Adjacent to the cargo village, this should be the first site considered. There's been a number of objections. The petition submitted has named as far afield as Rugby and Southampton. But to be clear, this is not public land, and it has already been identified in reports by the airport as a potential development site. This would suggest it's not a case of if, but when this site comes forward for development. there will be limited control if it comes forward through DCL. The warehouse itself has changed as a consequence of discussions to present a lower profile with green walls for properties at Cleveland Park. It provides greater distance between the building and the houses along Cleveland Road and Clare Road than the proposals in 2015. Since the committee report, we have further engaged with statutory consultees who raised objections and believe we have ameliorated a number of those concerns. JAS, as potential operators, have confirmed car parking for their operations is acceptable and that we have been agreed to be bound by a travel plan. We consider the proposals are acceptable, that there are special circumstances aligned with the operation of Heathrow and the world stage on which it operates. We ask you to grant planning permission tonight. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that. Mr. Thompson, are there any points you want to clarify as a result of the comments made?
No comments to make, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Now, Councillor Sue Duran, would you like to speak as ward council on this application? And you're reminded you have 3 minutes, and I'll remind you of 30 seconds.
Thank you, Chair. Building this warehouse on designated greenbelt land does not meet criteria for very special circumstances laid down in Section 13, Protecting Green Belt of National Planning Policy Framework 2019. Residents have seen bats, who are a protected species, in danger of losing their habitat if this warehouse is built on this land. Planting trees and hedges will not compensate for the loss of green belt, which acts as a green lung in this highly polluted area, although people dispute this. But the EU pollution levels state this in London and the surrounding areas to be increased and very high. Cleveland Park already has warehouses as its neighbours. It would have them on two sides if this proposal went ahead. The height and length had been increased and an office block added overlooking properties. It will therefore remain dominant and disproportionate due to its dimensions, resulting in an invasion of privacy. Residents of Clare Road backing onto it will be likewise affected, and trees planted will not alleviate the stress caused by this warehouse. Mental health could be affected. Both this and the previous application state that there will be no reduction of daylight sunlight, but a massive building must inevitably cast a shadow. Research shows that living in reduced light can cause depression, UN classification, light deprivation, form of torture. Residents are already affected by heavy, high levels of noise 24 hours a day, affecting their sleep. Additional warehouse will increase noise levels. Research shows that being exposed to constant high levels of noise leads to ill health physically. It will also contribute to further light pollution and exposure, which also causes ill health. All the causes of pollution make it impossible to open windows, making residents' life unbearable. The roads have been mentioned. Northumberland Close does not allow vehicles to pass each other, neither does the Bedfont Road, which is basically a busy country road with a single lane each way and minimal pavement.
Now, please, Councillor.
So I would ask the committee please to accept the proposal.
Okay, thank you for that, Councillor. Mr. Thompson, are there any points you'd like to clarify as a result of the comments made?
Yes, thank you. Just on the issue of bats, the applicant submitted an ecological survey report with the application, which covered protected species, including bats. We consulted the Surrey Wildlife Trust on the application. They raised no objection, so there aren't any issues with bats or other protected species with this application.
Okay, thank you for that. The item is now with the committee. Councillor Helen Harvey.
Thank you, Chairman. I move a motion to reject the application as per the officer's recommendation.
Thank you. And Councillor Sider?
Secondly, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Harvey?
Thank you. So this application is for the erection of a building comprising of 8,241 square metres to provide warehousing and distribution logistics class B8 and associated offices together with associated access, loading, uploading, car parking, servicing and landscaping. This site has been previously subject to a number of planning applications and appeals. The planning officer has placed material weight to the previous application in 2015 for a similar construction which was refused. There was an application in 1990 for a Class B8 warehousing and distribution development, which I understand was rejected by committee but overturned on appeal. The inspector apparently concluded that there were very special circumstances which outweighed the harm to the Greenbelt. These were an identified end user support role, to the role of Heathrow. The inspector at the time concluded that this site was at best marginal in its Greenbelt performance. It has been refused planning for, additionally, in the past it's also been refused planning for housing. Public consultation. During the public consultation, a total of 41 representations were received, including one petition with 298 signatures on. I also understand that Councillor Susan Duran has written to object to this proposed development, but she has previously stated in a council meeting that she is in support of utilising this land for housing. Greenbelt. Pertinent to the application is the consideration as to whether or not special circumstances are sufficient to justify building on this piece of greenbelt. Planning officer has noted in 8.97 that this site has been classified as weakly performing in the council's greenbelt assessment stage one report in 2018, a report that will inform the development of the new local plan. I think it is therefore not unreasonable to assume that this site may be under consideration within the Spelthorne's new local plan proposal to be a site released from Greenbelt. It is clearly ideally situated for use as cargo, logistics and distribution. Indeed, the current proposal from HAL for Heathrow Airport expansion, which the Council has recently completed its consultation response to, has placed the site within its red line and has suggested that the site could be used for airport-related development. HAL would, of course, need to make its case as part of a development consent order and argue the case for very special circumstances if the site is not proposed for release within our new local plan. The planning officer is recommending refusal of the application due to what was six factors, now five, and can be found in section 9, page 93 and 94. Reasons summarised is inappropriate development of the Greenbelt. The proposed development is considered to have an overbearing impact on the neighbouring residential properties. Noise and general disturbance. Although delivering 53 parking spaces, this is considered inadequate to accommodate the demand generated by the proposal. And finally, increasing HGV movements over unsuitable access is considered to be prejudicial to the safety of all highway users. I've read and spent some significant time considering the officer's report and the various key factors, and have indeed visited the site and surrounding areas. I am keeping an open mind and will listen to the debate. I'm interested to hear what members say, but I am currently of a mind to support the proposed development.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Mrs. Spinks.
I just wanted to come back on a couple of points raised by Councillor Harvey. The first one related to the reference to the site being weakly performing Greenbelt under the local plan review. I just really want to draw members back to the requirement they have to consider this application in taking advice from the MPPF. Now, the MPPF does not differentiate between weakly performing, moderately performing, or strongly performing Greenbelt. As far as the MPPF is concerned, Greenbelt is Greenbelt, and we have to assess applications on the basis it's Greenbelt. Any designation of the Greenbelt is not a matter for this committee, it's a matter for the future local plan committee. So on the basis of tonight, you have to consider the application on the MPPF, the fact it's inappropriate development, and are there any very special circumstances which have to be weighed together with any other harm. So I think you need to bear that in mind when you're making a decision on this. Reference was also made to the development consent order by Heathrow and the fact that this site is included within the application for that site for the DCO. The DCO being the development consent order. That is something which is put forward by Heathrow Airport Limited. It's a DCO process, can't remove sites from the Greenbelt. The only way that can be done is through the local planning authority for the local plan review. It's up to Heathrow for them to make their argument on the DCO, through the DCO process. They need to set out what their needs are for the future expansion of Heathrow. It's up to Heathrow to do that. My understanding of the timetable for the DCO is that it's likely to be submitted earliest summer, autumn next year. And for the timescale, just by way of background, the 6 months, there'll be a period of 6 months for the hearings to take place after the DCO has been accepted, and 6 months after that for the Secretary of State to make the decision. So that will be at the earliest summer, autumn 2021. So I just really wanted to put that into context to enable members with their decision making this application tonight. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay, thank you. So basically we're dealing with the site as it is at the moment.
That's correct.
Okay, Councillor Sider.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, here we go. This is an application, isn't it, with a long history. And each time there's been a proposal, then local residents have had to defend their environment and gird up their loins and fight it. So give full marks to the lady who spoke earlier this evening. This application is very similar to that which was refused in 2015 for a number of reasons. The main ones being inappropriate development in the Greenbelt and its height, bulk and massing, an overbearing effect on local dwellings. The new proposed scheme shows the building, we heard this evening, will be 165 metres long. For once in a lifetime, the County Highway Authority have raised an objection on highway safety to the proposed level of parking on site. Highways England have raised a number of queries regarding the transport assessment. Environmental Health have raised objections on noise regarding the impact it would have on nearby residential properties. The whole site lies within the Greenbelt, which, amongst other things, is so designed to check unrestricted sprawl of a large built-up area. Policy M1B states that new developments should achieve a satisfactory relationship to adjoining properties, avoiding significant harmful impact in terms of loss of privacy, daylight, sunlight, or overbearing effect due to bulk and proximity of outlook. Chairman, this proposal does not support this policy. Whilst the proposal would further be set in from the adjacent residential properties along Clare Road, compared to the scheme that was refused, the building will be greater in height and the proposed development will still present a continuous mass of 165 metres in the western elevation. Due to its height, would appear visually obtrusive and dominating, particularly for neighbouring occupiers when using their gardens. Chairman, even with the suggested 6 metre high acoustic fence along the southern boundary of Cleveland Park, this would not be an acceptable solution to the noise issue. In fact, it would create a further overbearing impact on the amenity of neighbouring properties. I'll leave it there for other members, but before I do, I had a look at the page 94 when I looked at this application, in the decision making, working in a positive and proactive manner. And it says, in assessing this application, officers have worked with the applicant in a positive and proactive manner consistent with the requirements of paragraphs 186 to 187 of the NPP. This included providing pre-application advice to seek to resolve problems before the application was submitted and to foster the delivery of sane development. Provided feedback through the validation process, including information on the website to correct, identify problems to ensure that the application was correct and could be registered. At this point in time, Chairman, I have nothing further to add, but will be very interested to see what other members have to comment. And at this time, I mindful to support the recommendation, which is to refuse the application.
So thank you, Councillor.
Mrs. Spinks is just going to answer your query about the pre-application advice and that. But Mrs. Brown, do you want to go and sit with your colleagues?
Yes,
thank you. This is looking a bit there.
Just really to clarify, Chairman, for you, yes, we did have pre-application advice with the applicant on the planning matters. The previous refusal was discussed with them, and there has been consultation throughout from the case officers, particularly Paul Thompson and Vanya Popova, and when they were on leave, myself, in providing feedback to the applicants. My understanding from the County Highway Authority that there was no pre-application advice relating to the highway matters, the transportation matters. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you for that. Councillor Harvey.
Yes, can you confirm, going back to what you've just alluded to in terms of how you've worked with pre-application advice, the actual situation, please.
Sorry, what's the last bit?
Well, is it true that you have refused to meet with them in the past?
Through you, Chairman, we had pre-application meeting with the applicant back on in the middle of May, where serious concerns were raised in relation to the application, because we had to look at the application and see whether it would overcome the reasons refused before, particularly relating to the Greenbelt issue and the overdevelopment. There was a request for a second pre-application, but the plan had only been a tweet, so there wasn't a need at that stage for further pre-application meeting, and then subsequently the application was submitted.
Sorry, I didn't find that a very clear explanation. Did the members? There was a request for another meeting, and you decided, or you refused it, is that what you're saying?
I think what Mrs. Spinks is saying, that the applicant met with them and was given advice that the plan was very unlikely to be given recommendation for approval, and that they should change it, make substantial changes to it in order to be able to come back and officers discuss whether or not it would be likely to get approval again, and they didn't make any substantial changes to it. Therefore, the second meeting didn't happen.
If it was asked and it didn't happen, did you refuse? Did you say, no, we were not having this meeting?
I don't know what the specific wording was, but but what happened was they were asked to amend the plans to come back with something that was significantly different to what they had originally come back with. And they didn't, so therefore the second meeting would have had the same result as the first one.
I don't think you could say that. I mean, what I find disappointing about that is that I can see, looking at that proposal, some areas that could have been amended, and I'm not confident that if that meeting hadn't taken place, that may not have occurred. For example, potentially, reducing one of the stories of the office area. I don't think you can say what an outcome of that meeting would be, and I must express I'm disappointed to hear that meeting didn't go ahead.
Yes, Mrs. Spinks.
Through you, Chairman, I can advise that I personally spoke to Mr. Anderson on the telephone and advised him to set it back. He advised me they'd put a green wall in place, and he said to address it, and I advised that if we thought a green wall would overcome the reason's refusal, then we would have recommended that with
the Councillor Harvey. Councillor Harvey, can you please, in addition,
Chairman, I also met with the case officer and the applicant back in July to express our concerns with this application. So there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever what the concerns are, and there should be significant reductions in the building which hasn't been forthcoming.
And is that normally what you, is that your normal process?
Yeah, this is difficult. I'm only responding to what has been claimed
in the report and what Councillor Robin Sider, and I am referring to what you told me yesterday, which I would appreciate you actually repeating.
Sorry, Chairman. Certainly there's been a question asked of the development management manager in terms of a meeting. She's explained that having met with the applicant, advice given, there were no substantial changes that was within the gift of the applicant. So therefore, at that point, a further meeting would have been futile in those circumstances. She's answered that question.
Right, thank you. Any other member wish to speak? Councillor Barrett, then Councillor Seaver, will you indicate? Councillor Barrett and Councillor Seaver.
Thank you, Chairman. Obviously, with the updates, this is always very useful. It's really a note point for the papers that were laid around for us. Under section 6, two late letters. It's always interesting to see this. The second letter is from Heathrow Airport Limited, HAL, dated December 2018 to the owner of the land, indicating HAL's potential interest in acquiring the land. Whilst keeping an open mind with all these things, and especially this application, I think we need to bear this in mind, actually. If this site's left vacant, it's likely to be seized by Heathrow under the development consent order when this gets submitted. We could even end up with this wretched immigration centre that they've been threatening to build in their borough after all. Although the officer pointed out the land's green belt, it really is, whatever way you look at it, poorly performing green belt. So I just think that reinforces it's highly likely to appear. To disappear in the not too distant future. I just feel the way that the Heathrow machine's moving, something's going to happen to it. Whether we deal with it tonight or not, I just think this is one of these plan applications that you're damned if you do or you're damned if you don't. So I think we just have to keep an open mind on it at the moment.
Thank you, Chairman. Just in terms of attempting to be helpful for the benefit of the committee. The point raised was another issue that was addressed by Mrs. Spinks, Development Management Manager, in terms of irrespective of whether the land is classified as a poor performing green belt, the NPPF doesn't have regard to that. So what you're dealing with at this time is this application on the table now with the policy line now in terms of green belt. I know that all new members and members indeed have had training recently, and my colleague, presenting officer, did refer to the previous decision and the weight to be attached to that. We're talking about a 2015 refusal. Whatever may change in the future, we're looking at the policy line here today. We're also, we must have regard and consistency in planning decisions. The High Court tells us that. The High Court tells us that there has to be consistency in decision making, and that you do have due regard to previous decisions in the planning process, as that they can be a material consideration. In that regard, I would refer you to the case of Mid Counties Cooperative Limited against Forestine Council in 2017, where the council refused an application from Aldi. They subsequently granted Aldi permission for a near identical development on the same site, and that was quashed on appeal. So again, you must have regard to that previous decision. That's why it's in the officer's report. That's the significance of that.
Thank you for that. I'm fully aware I've been here before, but I just wanted to point this out to other members that I can see where I think this is going to go in the not too distant future.
Again, whatever Hal may do in the future, that's the point at a decision at a different time in the future. Mm-hmm. Here and now is the policy line today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for that. Councillor Sleeve and then Councillor Boutin.
Firstly, I just wanted to say, forgive my ignorance, I'm a new councillor. Is it acceptable that Councillor Harvey just whispered to Councillor Helen Harvey? Is that allowed? Are other people outside of the committee meeting allowed to come and speak?
No, that's why I said he should go back.
But I think he completed what he was going to say. Is that because it's undue influence? I don't think.
Yeah, that's a matter for the monitoring officer.
I just wanted to say that Noel Green Estate's application clearly overlooks consideration of SP6, i.e. maintaining and improving the environment. As we've heard, the development will result in the site having an urban character, diminished openness of the green belt, overbearing impact on neighbouring properties, noise and disturbance, significant increase in HGV movements, and insufficient space for heavy goods vehicles to manoeuvre and navigate. This is contrary to the NPPF, and parking provision is inadequate, again, contrary to the NPPF. Paragraph 136 of the NPPF states that greenbelt boundaries should only be altered where exceptional circumstances are fully evidenced. Paragraph 145 of the NPPF provides guidance of the exceptional circumstances and appropriate developments, allowing for agriculture and forestry, facilities in connection with existing use of land such as sport, outdoor recreation and allotments, which must preserve openness of the greenbelt. Limited affordable housing, proportionate extension of a building already on site or replacement of a building already on site. So I would argue that clearly the seven material considerations identified in KGE's very special circumstances statement, such as the need to expand the Heathrow hub, transit cargo and logistics, and removal of the site from Greenbelt due to being weakly performing, do not constitute exceptional circumstances. Also, their very special circumstances statement places a great deal of weight on the possibility of the site's removal from the Greenbelt and focus on Heathrow expansion and the third runway, which may not happen. In my opinion, this is entirely irrelevant and should be ignored when considering the application. To treat this as a material consideration could be unlawful, rendering approval of the application open to the challenge of judicial review. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, that final bit is, as Mrs. Forsyth said earlier, we are treating we have to treat the site as it is now. Right, Councillor Gibson. No, I've got Councillor Boutin, then Councillor Gibson.
Thank you, Chair. My question is, are there any material benefits that can overweigh the green belt or sheer size of the building that might bring the negative impact to the local area?
It's up to the applicant to come forward with very special circumstances for why they think that the application on Greenbelt should be approved. It's not up to the committee, so therefore if the reasons that the applicant has come forward with are not considered satisfactory, then we can't go further than that and think of others for them. I don't know if that helps, Mrs. Spinks. Do you want to add?
Yes, really. Thank you, Chairman. Just to build on that point, yes, absolutely. The applicant's put forward seven considerations, which are summarised on page 86 and the top of 87 of the report. They are considerations that the applicant feel overcome the reason why it should be accepting the Greenbelt. So under each section, what the officers have done, they've taken each point separately, summarised what the applicant said and provided a response to those considerations. And you can see under each response, they've given amount of weight that should be attached to that reason. So for example, in the first one, it's limited weight, and as is the second one, and the third one is little weight, the next one is little weight, and so on and so forth. So that's response, but we have to look at that. We have to look at whether there's very special circumstances that outweigh inappropriate development in the Greenbelt, but also we have to look at the other harm, and the other harm that matters relating to impact on essential amenity, the highway issues and the noise. Thank you, Jim.
Does that help, Councillor?
Yes, it does. Obviously, it was for the applicant to highlight it. I just wanted to kind of bring that out.
Thank you. Councillor Gibson.
Thank you, Chair. I was just going to say that I have to concur with the points raised by my esteemed colleague, Councillor Sider, but also I would like to actually express a concern that should this application actually be not be refused, that it could set a precedent for other building on Greenbelt, which I don't think will be a really good consideration at this point. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Councillor. Councillor Ballard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, this particular application troubles me greatly. And in my very busy schedule, I took the trouble to go up there today and have a look, as I don't know the area particularly well. And my first comment is that and I've been involved with major company developments, we're talking millions of pounds, bigger than these, and very rarely have I seen an application that's got such an appalling layout in relation to the people and their houses. I'd make a few comments. First, the first thing that struck me was that we intend to take down all the trees except one on the north, on the boundary with the small development at the end there, and then replant. That seems to me crazy. Why not leave the trees there? They're mature. They are a screen, that's point one. The other thing was that using the entrance in Northumberland Close is not necessary, because for a development of this size, the entrance to the development could be in Bedfont Road, which is not a massively busy road, but it's a bigger road, and it would not necessitate vehicles continually going down this very narrow Northumberland Avenue. The other thing that, of course, is of major interest is that I have been to all the planning training sessions. I've been to planning meetings, I've been a cabinet member for planning for 3 years. I've been on this committee for four. I've been harangued time and time again by our head of governance and our chairman about we cannot build on Green Belt. And here we have an application that is basically from our own council company. Bit of a surprise. But having said that, if you think at the wider issues, Heathrow is, quite frankly, any land in Heathrow is at this point in time up for grabs. And I suppose really, if our Noel Green Estates doesn't achieve what they want to on this site, then others will. And there's no question about that over the next 3, 4, 5 years. Now, the 10-year plan, which I have been involved in, is coming very much to its close. And we are almost at the point of introducing a new 10-year plan. There are changes. You may or may not know, there is insufficient land available for housing. Never mind about other things that are going on in our district. And we are a a borough that's very dependent upon Heathrow for jobs and livelihoods. And therefore, I think that we should be very careful and take those wider concerns into account with this application. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Could somebody please move suspension of standing orders until close of business? Councillor Dunn.
I'd like to move standing orders until close of business.
Okay, thank you. I have a seconder. Councillor Sider. All those in favour, please show. This is suspension of standing orders until close of business. Thank you. Right. Yes, Councillor Barnard. Yeah, I mean, we are looking at this site as it is today. Understand what you're saying about what may happen in the future, but you're right. We are looking at it as per the local plan that we have today. So, any other councillors wish to speak on this item? No. Right. The motion was to refuse. All those in favour of that motion, please show. That's 10. Those against, please show. Five. So application number 19/00956/FGL land at Northumberland Close, Stanwell, seeking erection of a building comprising 8,241 square metres to provide warehousing and distribution logistics, plus BA and associated offices together with associated access to land, loading, uploading, car parking, servicing and landscaping is refused. Five. Oh,